for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, December the 29th, 2010. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Taming the Tongue.
This morning I had an insight. You know where Brother Pittman was talking about how that the Antichrist was going to wear down the holy people? I saw what's going to prevent us from letting him wear us down. You want to find Daniel? No, I can find it. No, here it is. Daniel, I hope I can find it. I had it marked in my Bible because it was a revelation this morning to me. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, it says, "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Well, that sounds discouraging, doesn't it? But then I saw, it says, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace." Well, his policy, I believe, is the false doctrines that are going on in the church today. That is in Daniel 8, 25, "And through his policy." In Ezekiel 13, it talks about the false prophets, the false teachers, prophets, the witches, that can make a person's the righteous soul fly through the air like a bird because they listen to lies. And I see this in the body of Christ. That's why we have such a small meeting, because today in the church, not many people want to hear about dealing with your issues or your stuff. And I'm into solving problems. You know, I don't want to live a lifestyle where I have all these problems. Problems can be solved as we line up with the Word of God. Glory to God. But that's in Ezekiel 13. I'll just read it. Did you find it, Don? A spiritual garden of the heart under documents and then PowerPoint. And there's two PowerPoints. It's the second one on there. Don't ask me how two got on there. Did you find it? It's the PowerPoint title that's got the longer title. It's got dot, dot, dot after it. Okay, Ezekiel 13, and I'm just going to read this. It says, "Wherefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows, wherefore you have hunt, you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms." Let's back up. It's talking to false prophets. You and I know people that have been to these meetings, and where they call it revival, it's like they're not interested in repentance anymore. It's like something got them. "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows in all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley?" And we see today nickels, dimes, noses, and numbers. And I agree with Howard. I have never known there to be money in the ministry. I mean, if you're really helping people, you have whoever comes, and you don't charge for what God does. "And for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows, there wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also I will tear, and deliver my people out of your hand." I've seen people that attend these meetings, and I believe that because of the witchcraft in some of these meetings, I believe that's what exactly happens, is people, it's like they become shells or like walking, almost like walking zombies in the name of revival. Anyway, we shouldn't listen to lies, and if we don't know the Word of God, you will listen to lies because you don't know what the Word of God says. I know myself, I get convicted. I have a friend that wears a Bible out about every 3 or 4 months. And it's very convicting to me. I think, well, she didn't have anything else to do but read the Bible. But anyway, we need to get in the Word, all of us. But that's not what I want to teach on today. How many of you have a thought that just won't go away and you try to bind it and rebuke it, it comes back? Or maybe you're always saying something, and something's always coming out of your mouth, and you're thinking, I don't want to say that, so you kind of try to resist it, which is good. It's better than trying to let it get you. But in this message today, I want to show you why and how to take your thoughts captive and how to tame your tongue when the Bible says that your tongue cannot be tamed. Is that what it says? It says the tongue is full of a restless evil and full of deadly poison, and no man can tame it. You can't tame the tongue, but you can get the heart pure. And when the heart's pure, the words are going to be pure, right? When you purify your heart. And so this message is entitled, Taming the Tongue Through Taking Your Thoughts Captive. The Bible commands us to take our thoughts captive. And also, the Bible has a lot of things to say about our words. And just some scriptures on words, and I'm just going to read them. Proverbs 10:20, if you want to write these down, says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked little worth. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. That could be a big problem with people having cancer of the tongue. That could be one of the roots to that. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So we can heal people with our tongues, or we can kill people with our mouths. We can murder with our tongue, or we can murder with a gun or a knife, or poison somebody. Proverbs 12:19, the lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said last time. But if you're a liar, the Bible says you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it's always good to tell the truth. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. I've had people use curse words in my presence, and I'm not trying to be so holy and righteous. There was a day when I'm not proud of it, but I used to curse before I got saved. And the Lord cleaned my mouth up about a week after I got saved. So these, you know, people that just hang on to sin, hang on to sin, hang on to sin. Hey, God wants to deliver us from sin. I remember about a week or two after I was saved, I was in the kitchen of my house. I can even tell you which way I was facing, exactly where I was standing, when a curse word came out of my mouth. And I said, God, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say. I wasn't even a church member. And that day, God delivered me from profanity. And so God wants us to set us free from everything in this word that He tells us to do, He wants us to do, and what He tells us not to do, He don't want us to do. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it is a breach in the spirit. So it causes a hole in your spirit man, and we're not your spirit man, but in your soul realm. It's like a hole in the hedge where the enemy can attack you. And we'll be talking about that a little later. Did you find the right one? Thank you. Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Proverbs 17:20, he that has a froward heart findeth no good. And if I find no good, no good's always coming out of my mouth. And he that has a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Matthew 12 says that what's in the heart comes out the mouth, and a man or woman is justified or condemned by the words they speak. Now, why is that? Because the words you speak is what's in your heart. You say, oh, well, I didn't really mean that. Yes, you did, because it was down in your heart. It came out your mouth. And I don't care. You can nail a board over your mouth, and it's going to come out until we find out how it got there. Proverbs 25:23, the north wind drives away rain, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Father, I ask you to take these words, and I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon these words. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to allow me today to be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being that will be used, Lord, to transform lives. Lord, you said the teaching of the wise is a tree of life that one may avoid the snares of death. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to anoint this word. I thank you that I've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this meeting, our houses, our lands, our properties, our jobs, our businesses, our customers. This camp, Glenn, Patty, Kevin, Donna, Ada, Linda, Rhonda, Richard, Mara, Tom, Diane, and every person at this camp, Carla on her way, her family, I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Father, I ask you today, put your hands on your ears, I ask you to give me ears to hear. I ask you to dig out and excavate my ears. In the name of Jesus, irrigate them. Give us ears to hear. Father, you said that a disciple, blessed are the disciples' eyes because they see. Blessed are our ears because we hear. Thank you, Lord, as Howard used this morning, that you have granted to the disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to the multitudes out there, you give them ears that hear not, eyes that see not, and a heart that cannot understand. And so disciple means let God discipline you. It's coming out of a word meaning discipline. You know, your parents train you up in the way you shouldn't go. That some of they train you up in the way you should go, maybe, or they train you up in the way you should not go. Every parent, because they're human and they're perfect, they do not train their children up in the way they should go imperfectly. Any place that there's a violation of this word, there's an automatic anger issue because God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So you see that anger is rooted in childhood, unresolved childhood issues. Chris Simpson said this once. That anger is attached to a hot wire that's attached to an idol, and you can't get rid of the idolatry or the anger till you lay down the idol or the idols. When you give up your life, you find it. When you lay down the idol, your anger will leave. You know, when we have expectations of other people, we have expectations of ourselves. I know people that forgive everybody, but they don't forgive themselves. They're angry at their self because they feel like they're not performing the way they ought to perform. So I have to die to my expectations of myself and of other people. I have to let it go. And that will disarm anger. Anger is not acceptable. God says, don't be angry, but don't sin. In other words, don't sin. Don't let it turn into sin. You've got till sundown to deal with it. If something makes me angry, I say, okay, Lord, why'd that make me mad? And the Lord shows me, and I repent of it. Okay, regarding our thoughts. Job 20, verse 2, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for that, this I make haste. Psalms 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Psalms 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. The other day, a few days ago, a man was brought to me that was going to kill himself, and he had gotten set up. He was fixing to go to, he was in big trouble. And he's come out of a bloodline, of a wicked bloodline. And he has no hope. And what the Lord showed me as I looked up the scriptures on hope, the Bible says that a hypocrite or a wicked person's hope will perish, and his only hope is to breathe his last. There you see it. And even though he's trying not to do that, it's coming down. It's a bloodline thing. It's a generational thing. And praise God, God uses our problems to show us what's next. You say, well, why doesn't God let all this, let all of our stuff happen at once? Well, we couldn't take it. He lets things lay dormant till the day of his power, till he wants to deliver us. And then when we find out what he's trying to teach us and we repent and we forgive and we break soul ties, then we get sanctified more because we get more conformed into the image of Christ. It says everything works together for good in Romans to those that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he predestined to become conformed into the image of his Son. God uses your trials to conform you into the image of his Son. If you don't find out how to deal with these trials and you don't deal with it and you don't overcome it and you just stuff it and think, well, this is the way life is, you don't get sanctified in that area. So you can thank God for the gift of difficult people because God uses those people to show yourself. I'm to the place where I thank God for difficult people because God says that everything is sanctified through prayer, the Word of God through prayer, if received with thanksgiving. Well, I'm to the place where I say, well, Lord, I thank you for this gift of this difficult person because you're using this person to change me. But I do it, I'm at the point where I do it because I know that it's a principle and that it pleases God. Well, when I get all of my issues cleaned up and I get all the logs out of my eyes, thanksgiving will just burst forth for that person. Because you see, I got my logs healed, dealt with. Does that make sense? I know that I've dealt with all my logs when I can be grateful for that person and be grateful just not because God said be grateful, but because it's coming out of my heart. You see, we all have heart problems. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. This would be a tremendous word study for, I've done this and I've repented over it. Look up all the words on wicked because we've all had wicked forefathers. And repent over all the scriptures on wickedness and wicked forefathers. Repent over those scriptures to break because you see what happens to the wicked coming down generationally. They have no hope. The eyes of the wicked will fail. It can be the root of eye problems, one of the roots, many, thousands of roots for me. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 59:7 says, their feet run into evil. That's one big major root to feet problems. Your feet hurt? Look up feet and you'll see lots of reasons why your feet hurt. Walking the wrong path, digging in, not turning your foot from evil. God says he wants to make your feet like hind feet and set you upon his high places. Isaiah 65:2, I have spread out my hands all the day into a rebellious people which walks in a way not good, following after their own thoughts. You know, a lot of prophecy today is coming out of our own thoughts, and so we need to make sure that when somebody prophesies over us, what they're saying bears witness, because otherwise it's a curse, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jeremiah 4:14, O Jerusalem, which is the church, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved, and how long shall your vain thoughts lodge within you? So God wants vain thoughts out of us. Well, how do we get them out? Well, you first have to find out how they got there. For example, if a child grows up, if you're always having perverted thoughts, those were seeds that were planted either through generational perversion or what you've looked at, and the Word of God is seed, and words are seed. And so what's being planted in the heart is producing fruit, either fruit of righteousness or evil fruit. Jeremiah 6:19, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Matthew 9:4, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your heart?" You see, God knows our heart. Romans 2:15, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another." Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the Word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, and punishing bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and punishing every disobedience when our obedience is complete." So whenever we're obedient, completely obedient, when we find out how the thought got there, take accountability for it, then we can punish every disobedience when our obedience is complete. And so our thoughts come from three sources. They come from ourself, they come from Satan, or they come from God. Well, how do we recognize when we're thinking thoughts that are not of God? Well, first of all, God never tells us anything that doesn't line up with His Word. Go to Philippians 4:8, please. "And Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, I loose Your holy angels into this place to minister to each of us, Lord, whatever kind of angel we need. Father, I ask for the anointing that breaks the yoke. I ask for revelation knowledge. I ask for the truth that makes us free. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that Your Word will go forth like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. Thank You, Lord, that the words You give will be like apples of gold and settings of silver to listening ears. Thank You, Lord, that You will establish our thoughts when we commit our way to You." You see, if I commit my way to the Lord, then my thoughts are established. You see how I have to take these thoughts that don't line up with the Word, and how I have to commit them to the Lord, do what God says, and then He will establish my thoughts. What a wonderful promise. But what happens is we have a thought, or we have a persistent thought, and we can try to brush it away or whatever, but it'll keep coming back until we get to the spiritual root of it. Same with our words. Things keep popping out of our mouth that shouldn't be there. There's something down in my heart that God wants me to get out. Now, there's a difference between a fiery dart, and there's a difference between a persistent, ongoing, repetitious thing or word that comes up into my thought life. If it's just a fleeting thought of evil, I just need to rebuke it. But if it's something that keeps harassing me, or say it's lust and it won't go away and I try to keep from being lustful. Now, I've never lusted after sexual things, but I have after strawberry shortcake. I used to go out to eat for about 2 or 3 years, I didn't eat any desserts because the Lord convicted me that it was an idol in my heart. And I would go out to eat with my husband, and I would encourage him to get a dessert where I could watch him eat it. That's lust. You lust after whatever your thing is. If it's food, if it's sex, if it's money, if it's pleasure, whatever, you lust after it. And the Bible says that when a man lusts, or when he sins, he can't say, "The devil made me do it." It's because of the lust that's down in my heart. And Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good repute, if there's any excellence or if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things." So every thought that does not line up with that scripture is not of the Lord. It's either of the devil or it's coming out of me. Now, God's thoughts would be versus the devil's thoughts versus the fruit of the Spirit. God's thoughts would deal with truth. Satan's would be lies, negative, dishonesty, lying, deception, dishonest, secretive. God's thoughts are honest, and Satan's thoughts would be to be a controller, a manipulator, a gossip. God's thoughts would be pure, Satan's thoughts unclean, sinful, filthy, victimization, victimized, distrusting. God's thoughts are just. Satan's thoughts are questioning God, comparison, self-righteousness. God's thoughts are lovely. Satan's thoughts would be ugly, self-hatred, hardness, unloving, gossip, slander. God's thoughts would be of a good report. Satan's thoughts would be judgmental, gossip, slander, judgment, criticism, filthy communication, blasphemy, wrath, malice, anger. God's thoughts would be toward virtue or virtuous. Satan's thoughts would be cowardly, prideful, unthankful. God's thoughts would be praise. Satan's thoughts, unthankful and unbelieving. And so all evil and all good begins with a thought. I think it a long time before I do it, or I think it and do it without thinking. Positive thoughts are of God and negative thoughts are of the devil. God never tells us anything that contradicts His Word. So if we're commanded to take our thoughts captive and we're commanded to guard our mouth, bridle our tongue, and then God's Word says no one can tame the tongue, well, the way we do it, how we captivate our thoughts and have purified lips is through allowing God to purify my heart by saying, Lord, how did that get there? You see, if I'm exposed to pornography, the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God is seeds and words are seed. Go to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes came to him. And my Bible is kind of marked up here, so excuse me. Somebody read that for me. Who has Matthew 13? Okay, you want to read it? You want to come here and read it? Yeah, come here and read it. I used to scribble in my Bible when my eyes were... They're better because I used to could not read anything up here without a light. Okay, read Matthew 13 for me.
Okay. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside.
Can y'all hear her? Okay.
And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore.
And that was a lot of people, wasn't it? Multitude is more than 100, what would you say? It's great crowds. Okay.
And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
And they all had ears, but he's talking about spiritual ears. Okay? Lord, give us spiritual ears.
Amen.
I want them, don't you? Okay.
And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
In other words, if we're disciples, and you know, if you can go and say the disciples, the Bible says, Jesus said, you'll know you're my disciples when you love one another. He says in Isaiah 54, I believe, or Isaiah 50, he says, I will give you the tongue of a disciple. that you may sustain the weary one with a word, and morning by morning I'll wake up your ears to listen as a disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back. In Acts it says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So a real Christian is a disciple, because it tells us to go and make disciples, teaching them everything I've taught you to do. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're in a privileged place. If you're a person that lets God discipline you, then you have understanding. Okay, keep reading. Okay.
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Them is why you speak unto these multitudes in parables, in mysteries. Okay.
He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them
it's not given. Okay.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
In Mark 4, it says, take care, same parable, but it says, take care how you listen, because if you don't take care how you listen, even what you think you have will be taken away. So for me to take care how I listen, I have to listen intently on what I'm hearing and seeing if it's lining up with the Word. Is that right? Because what Brother Pittman was saying, hey, in these last times, we've got to be the wise that know what's going on. And if we're just a typical church member and we don't deal with our stuff or we don't deal with our sin, we won't have understanding. Do a word study on understanding and you'll see it says, give me understanding that I may live. Forsake your folly and live and perceive in the way of understanding. Job 28 talks about a path that no demon in hell knows. Abaddon doesn't know, no fowl knows, only God knows that path. And then it goes on to say that understanding is to turn away from evil. So, if we want understanding in these days, which is the truth that makes us free, then we'll be wise people and we'll be the disciples that know what's going on. But multitudes are not interested in dealing with their sin, and you see that in the church. There was a time when I would have a seminar, I could get maybe 100 people in Lindale. It said for 40 hours because it was all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. I taught for 40 hours and I would do deliverance. It was like a spiritual house cleaning. I quit doing them in Lindale because there was two people besides me. And I've been going to Duncanville, not because... it's just the times of the great falling away that we're living in. There's so many doctrines out there that don't conform people to Christ. There's so many doctrines out there that are leading God's people astray. And so many false prophets. And if you investigate them, you'll see somehow they're all tied together. They're all running the same packs. But they never talk about repent of your sin. They never even say the word repent. And so that's what I watch for. Andrew Strom says, if the first word out of a prophet's mouth is not repent of your sin, I discount everything he says. And besides, as I've investigated a lot of them, I believe that a lot of them are getting their money from the One World Order to propagate this false doctrine that's going across through the church. Because like Brother Howard said, he's never seen, in all his years of being in the ministry, he's never seen there be money in the ministry. Okay, keep reading. Therefore
speak I to them in parables.
Thank you.
Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive.
Right. Keep reading.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.
So we have to have understanding, which is the truth that sets us free to be healed, right? And the Word is the truth. And then where does it start? When the disciples came to the Lord and wanted to know what this parable meant, and he said that the Word of God is seed. Mm-hmm. You can sit down. He said that He said the Word of God is seed, and he talks about the sower goes out, and if I'm speaking the Word, I'm planting seeds. Is that right? Because the Word of God is seed. It goes and says it, but some fell beside the road. That represents a person that has no understanding, that hears the Word and doesn't believe it. And then the second type of soil, and we're one of these types of soil. The second type of soil says the seed was sown on hard ground with a hard heart. And it had no depth of soil, and the minute the sun hit it, it wilted, and it was burned up. And you and I know, if you've ever had a garden and there's a seed that's been planted on hard ground, if you don't dig around it and bury it deeper, the minute the sun hits it, it's dead. So that just represents a person that has a hard heart, that the minute a trouble comes, he receives the Word with joy, but the minute there's a circumstance, because he don't want to put to death the deeds of his flesh, he falls away from the faith. And then the third one is the seed that falls among thorns. It says where the worries and the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world choke it out. That's a person that gets his mind on worldly things and gets his focus on God, off of God. And then the fourth type is like that good sandy loam, or I don't know about Arkansas soil, but in South Texas, there's this good sandy loam soil that anything will grow. I mean, you can drop a redbud seed there and you have a redbud tree. And so he talks about the good soil that bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. But mainly what I wanted you to see in that parable, that the Word of God is seed and your soil. And so words are seed. And so how do we get these kind of negative thoughts in our heart? Psalms 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." So for me to commit my works to the Lord, I have to find out how they got there, repent. For example, if I looked at pornography when I was a kid, and I've got a lust problem up here, and I'm saved now, and I lose sight of the fact, hey, I'm still having lust thoughts. Well, find out where it got there. Did your daddy have pornography? Did your daddy and mother have lust? Did you look at your daddy's pornography? Were you molested? Because seeds were planted in the spiritual garden of your heart. Whatever kind of seed is planted is what grows. If perversion is planted, it's perversion growing in your garden. Is that right? And lust. And you're what you think. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your heart is, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. The thoughts we think precede the actions we do. The thoughts we think precedes the words we speak. And usually we've been thinking about it sometimes a long time before we do it. And in the case of Achan, he had the thought and he took the spoil, and we know what happened. And then, you know, David, he saw Bathsheba and he thought in his heart. And you see how he ended up murdering her husband. And our thoughts and our words are connected. Go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Says, "You brood of vipers, how can you," this is in verse 34, "how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil." And of course, your treasure is stored in your heart. Is that right? It says, "And I say to you, that every," what is that word? "I say that every careless word that men shall utter or speak, they shall render account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words are you're condemned. That's telling, right? The Scripture says that even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut. And I've had a mouth problem my whole life, and it's getting better. I've had enough whippings to think, hey, wait a minute, I don't want this skin cancer on my nose, and I don't want to go blind in my eyes from logs. And I thank the Lord because the things we go through are to discipline us. You know, I've gone through life and I've had good health and I've really had nothing wrong with me in my whole life until I, besides sin that God wanted to deal with, but I'm saying physically. And then when I got a bad eye diagnosis, I mean, it was very, very discouraging. But I got in the Word of God, and I saw so much sin in my life I didn't even know I had. I was surrendered to the Lord. Jesus was Lord of my life. I couldn't think of one thing I hadn't repented of. But when I got in the Word, I saw plenty I hadn't repented of. And one of the major roots to eye problems is pride. And you think, oh, well, she's got pride. Well, so do you. You know, Jesus came to get the devil out of us, and he's king over all the sons of pride. Wherever you're walking in pride, Satan's king. And so we don't want Satan to be king over us. Okay, go to Matthew 15, please. 15:19, it says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile a man." And so, for those of you who are counselors, if you want to know what's going on, listen to what the people say, because you know what's in their heart. Especially if they say, "My husband is controlling." Well, that tells me that either your mother or daddy was. Because, see, if I either marry somebody, or if you're a controller, you'll either marry somebody that's a controller, or you'll be just like them. And so until we're able to take our thoughts captive, we cannot speak the right words. We cannot have purified lips till we take our thoughts captive. We cannot take our thoughts captive till we find out how they got there, because they were seeds. You know, there's people, and you may be one of them, that goes to bed at night listening and keeps the TV on all night long, and you're letting seeds of the one world order, you're letting seeds of murder, seeds of lies, seeds of fear be planted in your spiritual garden. So whatever, Romans 7:23 says, "I see another law in my members, down in my heart, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members." So if I'm thinking negative thoughts and I'm speaking negative words, there's sin in my members that God wants to get out. So, Lord, how did this get here? Where is the source of this evil thought? And then through repentance, God brings purity in that area, and the words are changed and the thoughts are changed. Years ago, when I would minister deliverance to people, I've never had sexually perverted thoughts. But when I would minister to people, there would be this demonic thought go through my mind, some kind of a lesbian thought or something like that. And that's not been in my life, and it would be like a tormenting thing. And finally, I started cursing that demon. "I curse you in the name of Jesus. I loose fire and brimstone on you. I declare the angels will chase you with God's fiery storms, tempests, and tornadoes until you're utterly disgraced. You'll fall in the pits you've dug. The nets you've hidden will catch your own feet. And I loose angels to throw fire on you." And that doesn't happen anymore. Or if I was teaching in the earlier years, I'd have this thought, "Well, you're really doing a good job." That's what would come in my mind. And, of course, if you're teaching, you don't want to stop and rebuke the devil. Sometimes you do. But I just said, "Lord, the next time I have that thought and I do this, I'm telling you, I don't receive it." You see, there's a difference between, like, for example, if you have an evil thought, everybody look up here, and you go, "Yeah, you just received it in your heart, haven't you?" or if you have an evil thought and you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, get out of here, and you resist it, that's just a fiery dart. But if it's a persistent thing, something that's always tripping you up and you're always having lustful thoughts or whatever, you need to find out what's been planted. And the Bible, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, I think, no, Luke 7:40, he said, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. Well, if I'm laying in bed at night and I'm sleeping with the TV going, and there's murder, there's lust, there's rape, there's violence, those seeds are being planted down in my life. In my earlier years, my husband is, I'm ashamed to say, because we're so different, the only thing that we really did together was watch, you know, he liked to watch Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson movies. And I'm thankful to say that I've not watched a movie since 1978. I watched, what was the movie about Jesus that was the, yeah, I went and see that. And I didn't think it did the Lord justice at all. And then there was a little House on the Prairie thing on TV I watched one night. That's the only things that I've watched since 1978. The body of Christ is saturating themselves through movies, TV, internet, with seeds of all kinds of mess, and then they wonder why they can't walk in victory. You see, you're suggesting you're being programmed. And so God tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 to watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. So we have to guard what goes in our heart. One thing that I've done since 1992 is play the Word of God as loud as I can play it in my house over me while I sleep. And the Word of God, the seeds of God's Word, goes into my heart. I don't remember everything I've heard, but I tell you, when God wants me to remember it, He quickens it to my heart because it's been planted there. And so, an evil thought is any thought that doesn't line up with the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we're not to plant two kinds of seed in our vineyard. How many of you know that you're the vineyard of the Lord? Isaiah 5 says, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, which is us. Where did I tell y'all to go last? Proverbs, go to Proverbs 24, please. We have to constantly be working on our spiritual garden. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says, I passed by the field of the sluggard. Now, a sluggard is a lazy person that won't work, who is not diligent in the Word of God. And the field, I want you to circle field and put 1 Corinthians 3:9, that says you are a building, you're a house, you're a field. We read in Matthew 13 that you're soil. Mark 4 says you're soil. Luke 8 says you're soil. He says, I passed by the field or the spiritual garden of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. You could say a woman and lacking sense too. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. In other words, the garden hadn't been tended. He hadn't been taking care of what was growing in his spiritual garden. How many of you know if you plant corn, you get corn? You plant perversion, you get perversion. You plant lust, you get lust. You get more than you plant, the same thing you plant, and later than you plant. It's going to come up and bear fruit. God wants our lives to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Well, when the hedge is down or the fence is down, wild animals can get in, right? There's where the demons come in. If I've got a hole in the fence, that means I have to block that fence off if I want to keep my garden from being ravaged by the powers of darkness. It says, when I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, just a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. It says, therefore, your poverty will come upon you like a robber and your want like an armed man. So we have to constantly be taking care of our spiritual garden. Is that right? How many of you have had gardens? Do you have to take care of the weeds? No. The good things. You don't have to take care of the tomato plants except to keep the weeds away, right, and fertilize them and water them. But you have to keep the weeds out because the weeds will grow up into the good things and choke out the good things. Is that right? Okay, go to Deuteronomy 22, verse 9, says, "You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed." So there's the seed of the Word of God, and there's the seeds coming across the internet, the TV, movies, the words of others spoken are seeds. So God's saying, don't put bad seed and good seed in your garden, because if you do, the bad seed is going to choke out the good. You see that? It says, do not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest all the produce of the seed which you have sown and the increase of your vineyard become defiled. In King James says, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers or two or more kinds of seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. So I have to watch what's planted down here in my heart. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because what's in the heart comes out of the mouth, and what's in the heart comes up into the thought life. And I could go a little bit further and say what's in the heart reflects in the face. You know, we can think that we can hide things, but our heart reflects our face reflects, our countenance reflects either the glory of God or the pain, misery, sadness, torment that's down in our heart. And God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why is the joy of the Lord our strength? Does that mean that I go drum up joy? No, it means when I get my heart pure, there's joy in every area I get cleansed. And it's a joyful heart's a good medicine, and a sad heart will make you sick. That's why you've got to deal with all your stuff on a day-to-day basis. You can't let things go. You can't stuff things. You know, when you have a thought, and this is something the Lord's shown me, you know, when you see something pitiful, sometimes we're not really looking at it to criticize, but like you go through a mall or you go through the grocery store and you see some person that's pitiful, and what you do is you just see it and stuff it, it's an automatic judgment. But God lets you see things because He wants you to pray. And a critical spirit is a misguided gift of discernment. You see things. God's given you the ability to see things. And what we do, what I've done it so many times, is just stuff it. It's an automatic judgment. I thank God for what He's showing me about the logs in my eyes. Now if I go through a grocery store and I see, in fact, I just walk or see wherever I go, somebody that's overweight or pitiful or crippled or whatever, instead of wanting to stuff in it, I just start praying in tongues for that person. Because I am working to get all the floaters out of my eyes. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, lest you give place to the devil. So how do evil thoughts get there, other than it, of course it's the wrong kind of seeds that are planted down in the heart, but they come down through unresolved traumas of life. You know, everything that's been happened to me. If I've ever been a drug addict, I mean, I've heard things, done things, I don't even know what's been done to me. There's been seeds planted in my life through that. So I'm saying, whatever area of defeat you have, ask God to show you how that got there, how that seed was planted, so that you can walk in victory. Through soul ties. Through molestations, rape, incest, through drug addiction, drug deals, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, things that they've not taken to the cross, comes down on us. We're born with many, many weeds in our spiritual garden that's come down through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. Through being illegitimately conceived, a child illegitimately conceived is born with a spirit of lust. Babies can hear in the womb. Where did that thought come from? I'm no good. I'm rotten. I don't belong. comes in through be trained up in the way you should not go. And that default cannot be broken until you take every issue to the cross. You know, when parents train up a child in the way they should go, when they won't depart from it. And I know I say this every time I teach, because I haven't got it completely, and neither have you. But everything is rooted in how we were trained up. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It sets a default that cannot be broken, a default of anger or a default of whatever we're doing, until we take that issue to the cross, deal with that unresolved issue, put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between us and that default, deal with it, and then God resets the default from negative to positive. You see, everything we do, everything that's done to us, everything we've said, every action, every seed that's been planted sets in motion forces that cause us to keep on reaping in kind what's been sowed. We trained up in the way we should not go. Well, we're still going that way. Even though we're trying to break out of it, we get kicked back into that default. How many of you understand a default on a computer? You can change it. You can type a letter and use 300 different, I think it's 300 different letter styles. But the minute you do another letter, it kicks it back to the way the factory set it. You were set at the factory by your mother and father. And what you're dealing with here in your marriage, in your relationship with your boss if you're not married, in relationships, is usually a rerun of how you grew up. It's the land that you have to possess. What you didn't possess and do right as a child, you let the sun go down on it. Now it is an issue in your circumstances that has to be dealt with. And that's sanctification. That's the sanctification process. Jesus died that you can be sanctified, but it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. God's going to sanctify you if you let Him until you leave this earth. Through the familiar spirits of the parents. Through alcohol and drugs, the things we've done under the influence of alcohol and drugs. And so seeds have been planted. And now you can turn on the, PowerPoint. See, every act, every word, every deed is planting things in your spiritual garden. Okay, the next one. The sower goes out to sow. Okay, next one. And so you see there's weeds mixed up with the good things. Okay, go on. And so depression. There was a seed to that. Why do you get depressed? What depresses you? Stubbornness, refusing to listen, sadness, double-mindedness. You know, the other day, there was a person in my life, a difficult person, and I looked at this person, and I thank God. I thank the Lord for what He showed me. And instead of it always being about me and how they have done me, God has healed me. I'm not completely healed, but to the place where I started praying, Lord, show me how to heal that person. Because I looked at this person and I thought, they are the most miserable, sad. I don't know of anybody more miserable than they are. I don't know if that's just when they get around me or what, but I started praying different. Instead of, Lord, do this, Lord, do that, I said, Lord, I started praying in tongues. Lord, I prayed everything in the Bible for this person. So, Lord, I'm just going to pray in tongues, and You show me how to heal this person. Show me what to do. And I don't know what happened, but that person's been totally different ever since. So, you know, it's all about us and our agenda and how people do us instead of, Lord, how can I heal this difficult person? Now, if I meet another one next week, it might take me a little time to deal with my stuff so I can get to that place. Okay, double-mindedness, temper tantrums, fear, gluttony, pride, perversion, anger, violence, murder, spiritual harlotry, adultery, rebellion, cursing others, murder. Those seeds have been planted. And what I started to tell you about the Charles Bronson and the Clint Eastwood movies, this was years ago, before 1978. I had such a problem with strife. I mean, I could get in strife with you just like that. Mainly my husband. But it was because those seeds of violence, Charles Bronson and Clint Eastwood, it was nothing but shoot 'em up, violence, kill, kill, kill. Well, I was planting those seeds down in my heart, and it was the fruit of it. It was producing strife in my marriage and in my life and with other people. And that's gone from my life. Praise God. He's got other things he's dealing with. And so, okay, the next one. So you plant corn, you get corn. Go ahead. Perversion, there's perversion. Fear, anger, rage, lust, sadness, pride. And if you don't deal with it, it becomes like that. You get choked out. Okay, the next one. Okay, and then just, I think that's all. Thanks. And so you're a spiritual garden. So I want you to stand up and ask the Lord, what kind of recurring thoughts do you have? Now, if it's a flying dart, you just resist it, it'll go away. But if it don't go away, it keeps coming back, then it's buried down in your heart somewhere. Maybe you have an anger problem. Maybe you get your button pushed over every little thing. And if you get your button pushed, it's because you let the sun go down on something. Because you're a prisoner wherever you let the sun go down on your anger. So, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, search my heart, test my thoughts. God, show me all of my wicked ways. And if those of you who've been in cults, you've had years of seeds planted down in your garden, and you're going to have to pluck them up as the Holy Spirit shows you how. Does that make sense? And it's going to be a process. It's not going to be a quick fix for any of us. I've been praying about my weight since I was probably old enough to pray. maybe 6 years old when I started gaining weight. And so that's almost 70 years. No, 66 years I've been praying. And I've been repenting over the Word. There was a time when I repented over food, over glutton, over eat. Every word that had to do with food in the Word of God, I repented over. So I've been repenting. Ever since I weighed 11 pounds when I was born, they must have said, oh, she's so fat. The Word says that the course of our life is set on fire by the words that are spoken over us, the words we speak. And so, and I think what helped break that, besides the message on the living sacrifice that God told me, was last year, I quit praying human prayers for myself. I started praying in tongues, Lord, give me your perspective toward food. And I would just pray in tongues about it. So anything that you've been praying about for 30 years, start praying in tongues and asking God to tell you, because something happens. It's a language that, it's a heavenly language. And we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us when we pray. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, show me what I need to repent of. Show me the seeds that have been planted in my spiritual garden. And then just sit down when you're through. Repent of everything the Lord showed you. But let's just you've heard these principles. Just zero in on the most troublesome thing of your life, the thing that keeps recurring, the thing that keeps you defeated. Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Let me say this. You know what kind of seed it was by looking at what kind of fruit it is. So if it's a sexual thing, a sexual thought or perversion, you know, deal with all the perverted things that you've ever done or that's been done to you, and then deal with the generational iniquities of the forefathers, because a lot of stuff has just come down on us generationally. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all the things that you've shown me. I forgive the people that have influenced me in a wrong way. Forgive me, Lord, for listening to false teachers, false preachers. Lord, I've become like who my teacher was. And I just renounce those teachers that weren't you in the name of Jesus, or if the message wasn't from you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pluck up all these seeds that have been planted in the spiritual garden of my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for allowing myself to be programmed by the television, the internet, by movies. If I have, forgive me for going to sleep with the TV, putting all kinds of seeds in my spiritual garden. Lord, forgive me for not watching over my heart and guarding my heart, what's planted in my heart. God, forgive me for not saturating my heart with the Word of God. Forgive me for not loving your Word. Forgive me, Lord, for rebelling against the voice of my father, the voice of my mother. Everybody pray with me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for training me up in the way that I shouldn't go. Forgive me for not thinking on things that are honorable, right, pure, lovely, and of good report. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for not taking my thoughts captive. Lord, I didn't know how. I tried, but I didn't know it was rooted in something that had been planted down in my heart. God, forgive me that my tongue has not been like choice silver, and that my heart has been like the wicked, not worth much. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me that my mouth hasn't been just. Everybody pray. And it hasn't brought forth wisdom. Forgive me for having a froward tongue that would be cut out. Lord, forgive me for speaking like the piercing of a sword, having a sharp tongue and not having a tongue that brings health and healing. Forgive me for killing people with my mouth. God, forgive me for not having lips of truth that would be established forever. Forgive me for having a lying tongue. Forgive me for not having a wise tongue that uses knowledge aright. Forgive me for being a fool and pouring out from my mouth foolishness. Forgive me for not having a wholesome tongue that's a tree of life. Forgive me for having perverseness, perversion in my tongue, and causing a breach in my spirit. Forgive me, Lord, for being a wicked doer, giving heed to false lips, and being a liar that gives ear to a naughty tongue. Forgive me for having a naughty tongue. Forgive me for cursing and profanity. See, you might have cursing and profanity in your life because you hung with a grandfather that cursed. You got a soul tie with him. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our curse words on the TV. You know, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, honestly, I do not know how believers can sit in front of movies that are taking God's name in vain. I remember a movie I saw back in college. It was called A Love Affair to Remember. And I found myself, it was about Cary Grant and Grace Kelly, that's how long ago it was. And they were having an adulterous affair, and I found myself rooting for them and their adulterous affair. And that song, to this day, I can hardly get it out of my spirit. Do you remember that song? Our love affair. Da, 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 da. That would be playing over and over. And finally, when that comes again, you know what I do? I start singing to Jesus and the love affair I have with Him. That's put a stop to it. When it happens, that's what I do. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pluck out, root out all the evil seeds that's been planted in my heart. Cleanse me, Lord, from all defilement by the blood of Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for speaking death and not life with my tongue. Forgive me for finding no good and having a perverse tongue that falls into mischief. Father, forgive me for not keeping my mouth and my tongue and keeping my soul from trouble. Lord, forgive me for having an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue. And Lord, I renounce the anger that came in through having an angry father that was violent toward my mother. Lord, forgive me for a lying tongue that hates those that are afflicted by it. God, in Jesus' name, I remind me that next time I have an evil thought or an evil word, to ask you, how'd that get there? Thank you that you know my thoughts. Thank you that my thoughts have not been right. My counsels have been deceit. My thoughts have been wicked and abomination to you. Lord, I want to forsake my way and my unrighteous thoughts. And I want to return to you in repentance. And I ask you to loose your angels to give me a spiritual shower. Forgive me that my feet have run to evil. I have not turned my foot from evil. Lord, you said you'll make my feet like hinds' feet and set me upon your high places. Forgive me for having thoughts of iniquity, making haste to shed innocent blood, which has caused wasting and destruction to be in my path. Forgive me for walking in rebellion in a way that's not good, following after my own thoughts. Lord, I ask you to wash my heart from wickedness, that I may be saved, and that you remove these vain thoughts that have lodged within my heart. God, would you please forgive me for this sin that would cause of idolatry, that would cause the fruit of my thoughts, you to bring evil upon me, even the fruit of my thoughts, because I've not hearkened to your words nor to your law, but rejected it. Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 10:4, 5, and 6, I cast down every imagination and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the will, plan, purpose of God, word of God. I tear down strongholds of pride, strongholds of Rama, strongholds of false teaching. I tear down strongholds of anger, hatred, bitterness. I tear down strongholds of Antichrist, strongholds of lies and lying. I tear down strongholds of greed, pride, selfish ambition, hatred, murder. I tear down strongholds of perversion, homosexuality, lust, adultery, fornication. I tear down strongholds of pornography and masturbation. In the name of Jesus, I tear down strongholds of haughtiness and impatience and pride. In the name of Jesus, I tear down strongholds of a lying spirit, strongholds of spiritual adultery, spiritual harlotry. I tear down strongholds of loneliness, depression, anger, rage, rebellion. In the name of Jesus, we cast down every imagination, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the will, plan, purpose, and glory of God. And right now, we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And Lord, we ask you to purify all of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And Lord, I break soul ties with every person I've sinned against or who sinned against me. I break soul ties with movies, producers, with false teachers. I break soul ties with sex partners. I break soul ties with every person who's ever touched me in an inappropriate way. I break soul ties with the news media. I break soul ties with the internet. I break soul ties with the movies I've seen, producers, actors, directors. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. So, Lord, bless you. Bless you, bless you. Thank you for the food. We ask you to purify it, sanctify it. We receive it with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you that we can still buy food here in America. We thank you that you are going to... Lord, we thank you that in that 45 days, you have a place that you are hiding us. We thank you that we're hidden in the cleft of the rock in Jesus' name. I have to tell you one little thing. I have chickens, and the other day I had a mother hen was sitting on chickens. Y'all know about chickens, I'm sure. I was the city slicker, right? Anyway, she'd been sitting on eggs, and I went out there, and I could hear them chirp, but I couldn't see them. I knew they'd been born. And I just thought of Psalms 91, how God covers us with his pinions. And she just reared up, and her eyes got like, "Don't you touch my baby." And I thought, how God is going to protect us in these days. But let me tell you, he don't protect your sin. He uses the devil to beat the tar out of you, to whip you back in line. It's not the devil made me do it. you poor thing. It's you've got the demons because of sin. Amen? So let's walk in repentance. Amen? God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.